Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeat victory since 2018. I got it.
I'm Kristen, she's Josh.
I am.
And we're best friends.
We are.
And lest anyone thinks this confusion is due to excessive consumption of cheap Chardonnay, we have only had two glasses.
There's only been two glasses. Yeah. This is just us.
Modest, right? You're not feeling anything.
Yeah.
We're doing a 3-for-1 special, listeners. We're reading three letters, three brief letters, and discussing that. And again, as we've been saying, if you start your letter with a compliment,
hello,
you're more likely to get read. We have quite a backlog. We know we don't podcast once a week, and we will have more episodes coming, and we'll be recording more now that my crazy summer is over.
You were away most of the time.
I was away most of the month of October.
Yeah.
Most of the month of June.
Yep.
And in between those months, I was writing and revising a book.
Right, right.
And being a person, you know.
And being a human
spending
being.
Spending time with my family, my little grandchild, you know.
I saw today in his little bee costume.
Yeah, so cute.
He was very cute.
Uh-huh. So anyway, let's get to the letters and let's take the first one.
Okay.
Go for it.
Hey ladies, just discovered your show about a month ago and have been getting a kick. Joss, you are a kindred spirit in your love of fart stories. I mean, who doesn't love a good fart story? And I want you to know that I was thinking of you after I accidentally let go a scare the neighbor's dog grade blast at the gym the other day.
So you know what? Physical exertion.
It happens.
You can only control so many muscles at the same time.
It happens. I am Gen X like you two and have only just attained a more enlightened level of don't give a fuck, was briefly embarrassed, then hope I frightened and grossed out / impressed the 20-somethings nearby. I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, serious time now. I will not get this out the way I intend, but I hope you can grok where I'm coming from. I had to look that up.
We did.
Intuit.
We're on the older end of Gen X.
Yeah. Intuit.
Grok means intuit.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to grok.
Intuit. After being in counseling on and off for 35 years, and I'm pretty sure that is part of the problem, I've worked through enough to clearly perceive my two basic life issues. One of them is profound social awkwardness, and that might be for another time. The one I want to talk about is being poor my entire life. We didn't know we were poor, per se, though through adult eyes, I can see the ways our parents masked that. My brother and I were made aware pretty much every day that we cost our parents money just by breathing, and it's probably why, for example, I never set foot in a dentist's office until my mid-20s. Despite all the obvious and unspoken attitudes that go into an impoverished mindset, I've tried to do better. Long story short, despite doing so, I'm in my early 50s with no net worth of any kind, although no debt either, thank you, which is impressive. I've lived my life under the hope that I could eventually bootstrap my way into not being the charity case friend whose meals or tickets are almost always have to be gifted by someone else. But at this point in life, that is never going to happen. The why of it is too complicated for this letter, but hard work and good karma and, oh yes, those precious bootstraps have not held up there under the agreement. It has taken a lifetime of work to appear middle class, and despite everything, I'm not there and never will be. I've wanted to make friends with intelligent, fun people, but that type is and always has been better off than me financially.
We're going to come back to that.
Yeah, we'll circle right back around. So any friendships are both imbalanced and don't last long. I don't even try reaching out, but I am friendly with those who try to ignore my poverty until that becomes awkward and they drift away. And it invariably becomes awkward. I want to stay isolated, but that's not practical or feasible, especially as time passes as I get older. Just another thing I can't afford. What to do? Signed, well, now, fuck. Now I'm really depressed. Or really
that's
despairing.
That's your signature?
Yes.
Well, fuck.
Well, fuck. Now
okay.
I'm really despairing.
I guess we have your name.
Well, fuck.
Well,
is her
fuck.
Name.
we have some advice.
I do.
I want to start with your parents. You say that every day you were made aware of how much you cost your parents. And I think that that, more than poverty,
yeah,
has left a mark.
Yes.
I think that you were told, essentially, you kids bring down the quality of our life. If that was your message about how much you cost, then you have issues of how much you're actually worth,
yeah,
as a person, because, yes, you were monetized.
Which your worth is part of how much money you make, which, yes, is not the way it should be.
So that message started very young.
Very young.
And it's going to be hard to change that song.
Yeah. What I wanted to say is it doesn't sound like you're poor. I don't know. You don't have any debt, which...
It's amazing.
I was just talking...
Can we take a moment to honor that?
That is incredible. I have debt. And I just want to bring up... I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, Anne Renwick.
Oh, yeah.
And her older son, who is a genius, yeah, and does classified work that no one can, yeah, know about or understand.
Like a joke in a movie right, yeah, now.
He's really smart.
He's too smart.
Has an amazing job where he has a, what do you call it?
Security clearance.
He is in the same boat as most people his age and even older, which is they either have to live at home or have four roommates.
Right.
So
you're not living in a time that's kind to the so-called middle class.
You are not. So give yourself a break on that.
Yeah.
Please. Because everyone is going through it. From our friend's son, who's in his early 20s, to older millennials who are struggling.
Yeah.
I've read articles where it is not uncommon for people in their mid to late 30s to still be living at home.
Right.
That's the way things are these days.
I visited my son recently in Salt Lake City, and I noticed how many plant stores there were.
Yeah.
House plants. And I said, that's so wonderful. I love house plants, and so does he. And he said, oh yeah, it's becoming a thing because we can't afford children or pets.
Wow.
So having plants is kind of the new cat.
Wow.
And
God, that's depressing.
Yeah. So it's not you and your bootstraps. It's, mm-hmm, a lot of this is where we are financially right now. But I agree with Joss. You don't sound poor.
You don't. If you don't have any
debt. You have a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
You have a job. You have food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no debt.
Which is incredible.
We want to just give you a shout out for being great and doing that all on your own.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've done a lot on my own too, but I also have debt. So it's not nearly as good as what you've done.
Well, I mean, you're also a homeowner.
I am.
And that's a lot of your debt.
It is most of my debt, right? Is a mortgage. Yeah.
But I think we understand where you're coming from. And, you know, I spent my 20s and, oh gosh, most of my 30s shopping at, mm-hmm, budget stores, mm-hmm, and waiting to pay certain bills.
Goodwill.
Because, mm-hmm, yeah, you know, hand-me-downs, mm-hmm, from my friends clothed my kids the first, mm-hmm, 10, 12 years of their lives. You
absolutely.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
That was okay. And I was grateful, right, for the friends who had all the girls and dressed the princess so nicely,
mm-hmm,
and the little boy across the street who, you know, all this stuff. It helped us,
mm-hmm,
and I was glad to be helped, especially, you know, for the kids. I think that when you say that the people who are intelligent and fun are also wealthier...
Mm.
Maybe just need to hear what you said out loud.
Do you hear that out loud? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I know who is intelligent and fun, I know a bunch of people. I work at a very prominent university. They're all desperately poor because a grad school education doesn't bring a lot of money in. And they also have debt. So intelligent, fun people also don't have a lot of money and still find a way to make friends and go out and have a good time.
So you're saying that the intelligent, fun people that you meet and want to be friends with are always better off financially than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing for you to look at. Why are you picking the people who can go to the theater and go to, I don't know, Maldives. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that is. Are you picking people because of your aspirations of what a good life is supposed to look like? Mm-hmm. You know, like, are you really saying that you can't be fun and intelligent and make what you make? I mean, you seem kind of fun and intelligent.
That's right.
So.
Or is it like part of your past with your parents?
Yeah.
That's what it is, right?
That's what it is.
You think that they're intelligent and fun because they're wealthy, not because they're intelligent
or
and fun necessarily.
Not even wealthy, just better off.
Better off.
But I think that you are equating people's value with their income because that's what your parents did to you. And as I said, it's going to take a lot of work to change that mindset. I hope that you will see a therapist or are seeing a good therapist because there's a lot in your story that that should be addressed. But the other thing about you is that you say you're profoundly socially awkward, and that's fixable.
That is
okay. So that's the good news. And the other good news is it's free to fix this. Now, yes, you can hire a therapist who will teach you how to read social cues and can have mock conversations with you and like work on things like, well, when you said that you were looking at the floor, so I wasn't sure if it was a joke or if you were serious, you know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But there's also a million resources on the internet.
Yes.
So if you Google how to be less socially awkward /40s, you know, or Gen X or something, you're going to have so many resources.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally dozens of TED Talks about this. So that's something that can change, where you can practice your social skills, where you can, actively try to improve there, because it sounds like you really want to improve there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what life is about. It's about learning more and being better.
Yeah.
Better skill, better person, better heart, you know. So we definitely recommend you working on that because it bothers you. Now, there's nothing wrong with being socially awkward, and my God, 75% of the world is socially
awkward. That's
right?
True.
So don't be too hard on yourself there. What else have you got to say, Jess?
I mean, if you are interested in hanging out with these people who are intelligent and fun, but also more successful than you are, you can still do that. I mean, if I wanted to do that and knew I couldn't afford it, I would save and say, this is my one monthly splurge where I get to hang out with these people who make much more than I do, and I can do that.
Right. And if they drift away because of what you're perceiving as their discomfort with your poverty, they're assholes.
But I wonder about
that. And you need to choose better. But I also, I wonder if you're maybe drifting away because you think, like, you of the shame that you carry.
Yeah, you might put it out there that I think if you keep mentioning, well, I don't have as much, or I'm poor, or you are much better off, you're more successful.
Or if you're just thinking these things, then you're isolating yourself. You're telling yourself a story that's not true.
Yeah.
And I will share with you this wonderful story. One of my oldest and closest friends once invited me to her new home.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And they had plastic, like three plastic lawn chairs in the living room. And that was all they had.
Mm-hmm.
They had this house
mm-hmm.
that they really couldn't afford.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was a very modest, very, very simple house,
mm-hmm.
nothing fancy, no marble, no mm-hmm. brass, you know. And she said, I wanted to have you over to see the house, and we can't afford furniture right now.
That's life.
And I was so happy
mm-hmm.
to be invited there and to get to hang out with her, because she was the reason I was in the house,
mm-hmm.
not the potential new couch.
Right, yeah, the plastic furniture is not a reflection of her.
I wasn't there to sit on furniture. I was there to see my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really wonder about if you say, you know, I'm on a really tight budget, and so I can't join you in a restaurant for dinner, but would you ever want to come to my house and, like, cheese and crackers and some cheap Chardonnay?
What about that?
I mean, that's...
It's great.
Sounds like a great invitation to me.
Yeah.
And if you think, like, oh, they're going to be horrified by where I live, well, don't assume they're going to be horrified by where you live.
Don't. Okay? And if they are, they're not the people for you. That's right. Easy to spot.
If they say, oh, my God, I'm going to move to the Bay Area.
Yeah.
You know, then you know. But but if they say, well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Believe them.
Yeah. I think so.
Believe them.
And really investigate your background and your upbringing and how that's affected how you view people and view money, really.
Right. I mean, it sounds like you're so successful as a person, and I'm not talking about your W-9.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, you're at the gym, you're really funny.
Yeah.
Your letter is very smart and sassy and honest.
Got a great voice.
Yeah. So we have a lot of faith in you.
Yeah.
And kind of want you to get out of your own way here.
Yeah.
And connect with the people you want to connect with.
Agree.
All right. Good luck, sweetheart.
Good luck.
And, you know, just thank you for that signature. Well, fuck. No, I'm really depressed.
That's come on.
All right. Our next letter. Hello, ladies. I started listening to your podcast about crappy friends, and I wanted to share my encounter and possibly get advice.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend whom I met through our kids roughly 5 years ago. We met through their school when our little ones were put in the same class, and the friendship grew slowly from there. I've never considered her my best friend. However, she would constantly call me her best friend. This is a pandemic
before,
best friendiness. She would invite my family to all her kids' birthday parties, to anything having to do with the kids. However, when it came to being my friend, she just wasn't emotionally there. Over the years, she would bring nothing but anxiety and drama into my life. Whether it was pandemic issues, school issues, and drama, or her own personal issues, she would constantly talk bad about her husband, her in-laws, her family, and expect me to hate my family in the same way. She was the type who only called me when she needed something, or when her children needed a play date,
mm-hmm.
or when she needed me to take her kids for the day.
Hmm.
Over the past 6 months, it's gotten worse. She would constantly belittle me. She would do things without my permission, such as signing my child up for programs or volunteer things, and then expect me to comply because we had to do such activities together because we were friends. She recently told me that she is the only good friend I have. She's told me that I have become such
a... Sorry, she told her that?
She is the only good friend that I have.
That's crazy.
Loving this. She's told me that I have become such a hateful person, mostly because I started to keep my distance. She belittled me by telling me she had to hide me on social media because she hates seeing my family enjoying each other on vacations because I was just rubbing it in everyone's faces.
Mm-hmm.
She told me she hates hearing about things going on in my life and things I am doing to better myself and my family. She told me that I am a selfish person for not including her in fun things my family does, when in turn she doesn't include me, nor have I ever expected her to. I never included her because she had something negative to say about everything. She constantly turns every situation that happens to other people to make it about her. How sad she is, not for them, but for herself. She sees other people having great relationships and says she is jealous because she wishes she could have those types of relationships with her family or friends, yet does nothing to flourish any of the relationships she does have. During our last encounter, I had a really good friend overhear a conversation she had with someone where she talked really bad about me and my family. It happened twice. I have some really great friends in my life who gave me some great advice about keeping my distance and even warned me about the friendship with her. Is this friendship even worth repairing, or should I cut my losses and move on and invest my time into the wonderful friendships I have? How do I move on from this? Thank you for taking the time to listen. Signed, Belittled. I made that up.
Okay.
Okay, Belittled. After hearing me read that aloud.
Yeah.
Do you really think there's a friendship here?
Yeah, and do you honestly not know what to do here? Yeah.
Come on.
You know what to do.
She's not your friend.
She's never been your friend. First of all, how does she fix her mouth to sign your children up for programs?
That's against the law. And you should maybe ding the principal's office and let them know that only you and your husband or partner can do that kind of thing. Mm. You know, that litany of things she said about you, she doesn't like you at all. She doesn't care about you at all. I don't understand why she's still in your life.
Why have you stuck around this woman for this long?
Why are you questioning what you should do?
Yeah.
You know?
Block her.
Yeah, block her.
She's mean, so there's no need for you to, like, bring a soft touch to ending this relationship.
Block her on social media.
Yeah.
Block her from your phone.
Yeah.
If she says hello, you can give her a nod.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even letting you wave.
Yeah.
Just a nod.
A nod.
A nod. Yeah.
And then you're done.
You're done. And she will say, oh my God, she's so mean. And everybody she talks to knows exactly who she is.
That's been my experience, is these types of people who everyone knows who they are.
Yeah.
They've all experienced the negativity of these types of people. Right. So no one's going to blame you.
You don't need to worry about your reputation.
No, not at all.
You create your reputation by the things that you do and say and how you show up for people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's creating her relationship by the things she does and says and how she shows up or doesn't show up for people.
Mm-hmm.
So, my God, you know what to do.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Our last letter in the three for one special.
Hello, beautifuls.
Yes.
See how well that works?
Oh, my God.
See how nice that is?
Yes. And may I just say that you do look rather glowing and stunning today.
It's a new face cream I bought.
Oh, I was going to say it's the gem, but...
It could be.
Tell me what the face cream is. Quick.
It's called Spoiled Child. It's so expensive. I love it. It's like a collagen thing.
Ooh.
I feel very dewy. It's wonderful.
You look dewy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so hello, beautifuls. I'm in a quandary, and I'm not sure what to do. I married a wonderful man, Jackson, not his real name. We've been married for almost 20 years, and I couldn't be happier.
Lovely.
He is a wonderfully giving and gracious man who always goes out of his way to accommodate everyone, regardless of how they treat him. 3 years ago, I made friends with Brenda, not her real name, a fellow mom in the neighborhood. Brenda and I became fast friends, texting almost every day, having dinners with our husbands, co-hosting neighborhood parties, etc. As the years progressed, our husbands soon became friendly, and my husband, Jackson, considered Brenda's husband, I'll call Aaron, a friend. Fast forward to a few months ago, and I noticed that Brenda wasn't returning my texts, was turning down invitations to go to lunch, you know the drill. For some reason, I was being iced out of her life, and I had no idea why. Worried that I had said or done something to hurt her feelings, I asked her if we could talk. To this day, I never received a response. I am a 55-year-old woman, and I'm fully versed in many types of friendships. This one, unfortunately, withered too quickly, and I was left confused and heartbroken. I worried that because of this, my husband would feel odd in continuing his friendship with Aaron, but he assured me that he would not. Although I have not spoken to Brenda since she ignored my last text, she has started to text my husband often over the past few months and has even invited him to their home for a couple of summer holiday parties.
Without her?
I guess. Although my husband has turned down these invitations, and as far as I know, has told me each time she has texted him, it still bothers me that she's reaching out to him. It feels like she's using him to get to me, knowing full well that my husband's sweet demeanor will choose her friendly overtures as a win in the better friend contest I never agreed to enter. I trust my husband completely and have no reason to believe this is a romantic gesture on Brenda's part. To be fully honest, it hurts me deeply that he entertains her communication. I want him to defend me, to be on my side, but he maintains that it is between Brenda and me, despite seeing that his friendship with Brenda has strangely blossomed so recently. I am hurt by Brenda's dismissal of me, but truly hurt more by my husband's unwillingness to defend me, to not even be willing to rock the boat or possibly hurt someone who has hurt me. My question to you, dear ladies, am I off kilter here, or is menopausal / hormonal brain getting the best of me? Thanks a million. Signed. leave the name.
The neighbor.
The neighbor.
Okay. So there's two things going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Your mysterious end with Brenda, where she just ghosted you.
Mm-hmm.
And your frustration with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest a bold move.
Yes.
I think you should walk over to their house when you know Brenda's home,
mm-hmm.
and knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And if and when she opens it,
mm-hmm.
say, "Brenda, I know things have been odd between us, and I'm sorry that you were unable to have a conversation with me about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not comfortable with you texting my husband while you are not speaking with me."
And inviting him to their house and all like that? Just,
again, very calm.
Mm-hmm.
Very, have that script ready. Have an index card, mm-hmm. that you have memorized.
Mm-hmm.
Just see what her response is. My guess is that she's not even going to open the door.
You think?
I don't think Brenda has the guts to have a conversation about this.
But the chutzpah to, like, ice you out and then start contacting, yeah. the husband.
So this, it's all innocent. My husband loves me.
I don't like that.
I think it's very odd that your husband is not saying to her, "Hey, Brenda, really appreciate, you know, the friendship, but I'm really uncomfortable because, yeah. you're no longer speaking to neighbor, so, you know, to my wife." I find that very, very much a red flag.
Yes. I mean, and I know you want him to defend you, but I'd much prefer him to say something like what Kristen just said. I'm not sure what you mean when defend. Like, what would you like him to say to Brenda?
Right, like, "You can't text me because you're not talking to my wife."
Yeah.
Or, "You've behaved badly." No. I mean, he could just say, "I'm not comfortable with you texting me when you're not speaking to my wife." The fact that you have told him this,
mm-hmm.
and he is doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
tells me that he likes it.
Mm.
Of course he likes it, or else he wouldn't keep doing it.
Mm.
So what is he getting from Brenda?
What is he getting from Brenda?
That he's not getting from you.
What is he getting from Brenda?
And, you know, haven't we heard this story when suddenly husband files for divorce because fallen in love with Brenda?
I really hope that's not the case.
Hope so, too.
Jeez.
I hope so, too. But the fact that your husband is ignoring your discomfort and hurt and is just having a great time with this blossoming friendship with Brenda.
Weird.
Is a bad sign.
Yeah.
Maybe you and he need to see a marriage counselor a few times.
Mm.
And talk about this. Maybe he needs another person to say, "No, this is not appropriate." I'd like to know if Aaron knows that Brenda and Jackson are texting and have a blossoming friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? From a soap opera perspective, she drops the friend so she can make a play for the husband.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
That's, you know.
I'm just trying to picture myself. We're friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I ice you out so that I can chat up your husband.
Right.
How does that sound?
Yeah.
Brenda's the mean one.
Neighbor.
Come on.
Sweetheart, you need to not nip this in the bud, but you need to take a machete to the situation.
I just think that that's an inappropriate relationship. It's not a friendship. I don't understand how they're having a friendship when you were supposed to be friends with Brenda. And then now she's being mean to you, but she's decided, yeah, your husband's still okay by me. What? That's, I just
find
it weird.
And that your husband is lapping it up.
Yeah.
So if this was my husband,
mm-hmm.
I would say, I mean, I'm pretty black and white person when it comes to marriage and fidelity and stuff.
I don't see McIrish doing this.
Emotional affairs, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him doing it either, but, mm-hmm. you know, I would say that this ends now.
Yeah.
And we're going to marriage counseling.
Yeah. Put your foot down, honey.
If you say to your husband, we need to see a marriage counselor because I am very uncomfortable and dismayed over your relationship with Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
And his reaction is, Oh, you're just overreacting.
Yeah, that's
and
a problem.
And he's telling you, mm-hmm. Oh, I like it and I don't want to stop.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I love that he adores you. Mm-hmm. I really want Jackson to have the benefit of the doubt here. Mm-hmm. But nothing that he is doing and nothing that he is saying is putting you first.
Truth.
And that's his job.
That's the truth. And I will say, you know, this is crappy friends. This is about friends. Brenda was probably never your friend.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, another thing you could do is have him listen to this episode.
Yeah. How about that? Because the minute you said Brenda started texting him, I got really, like, I perked up. I was like, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If your husband wants to keep a happy marriage, he needs to end this.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. Aaron, knock it off.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about
that. I mean,
feeling a little stabby, if you want to be honest here.
But it's true. Brenda,
I want to stab Jackson. I want to, like, take a fork and poke him in the arm.
What would Brenda's husband say?
Yeah.
How would he feel knowing that she's having this sort of texting relationship with Jackson?
And, you know, if Jackson doesn't respond in the way that you hope and the way that we hope, you might do some, you know, asking Aaron, are you aware that our spouses have this blossoming relationship, even though your wife hasn't talked to me in 3 months for no apparent reason?
Right. And, I mean, again, to address the friendship part of this situation, the thing that also made me perk up and also made Kristen perk up was Brenda and I became fast friends, texting almost every day. Yeah. How quick that happened.
Insta-friend.
The Insta-friend.
We warn about it almost every episode.
Yeah.
So I really hope that your marriage is not in danger. But I think it is.
I don't like it. I'm telling you that right now. I don't like the whole situation.
Yeah. So please write back to us and
let us know
how things go. Yeah. We are rooting for Jackson to be a sweet and completely oblivious man who, once he knows the depth of his wife's feelings, will do the right thing.
Yes.
Jackson, listen.
Get it together.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.
Forever.